Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning and Merry Christmas to you. Christmas from me to you. I have a gift today. Yes, it's another clinical nugget, something you have to add to your list. I know you're thinking more about gifts and food, but the first of the year will be here soon, and it's never too early to start. So just enjoy this show. Just take it as entertainment. It's a gift because it's another nugget. It's another one of those perspectives that we don't have, that we've marginalized down, even in nutrition, to something less important and comprehensive than it really is. And it's called intestinal gut ecology. Yeah, you understand it as probiotics. You understand it as the good bacteria. You understand it as fermented foods. You understand it as colon cleanses and all the importance of those activities to your health. But, and here's the point of the show, there's a bigger picture here. There's a concept, and it's encapsulated in the word the ecosystem of the large and small intestine. What does it look like? If you shrunk yourself down to the size of a bacteria and rolled on down your intestinal tract and went in there, what would that internal architecture look like? What would be there? What would be missing? What would be there that shouldn't be there? What would the overall review, the critique, what would it look like if you put it down to pen and pencil? If you summarized it in an essay after you spent a week or two down in your intestinal tract and you came out with a number from 0 to 100, 100 being perfect and 0 being big trouble. And that's the way you have to think about the ecology of your gut. Colon cleansing, probiotics, fermented food, so on and so forth. That's not the insight. The insight is to go down and reconstruct. And we all need to reconstruct if we've grown up in America eating American food, fast food, and all the mistakes so much or indiscretions of our youth. All the bad patterns that we're now interested in changing. What we're really doing is understanding the ecosystem, the neighborhood of health in the intestinal tract, as one of the driving vital forces behind prevention of disease and repair of disease. Now, that's the concept. Once again, the show to get you the concept. All right, let's fill it in, but first a little bit of basic science. By the way, if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. I teach with pictures, so get to the website. You got to be a little bit computer literate here, not much. Just get to the website, straighttalk.cc. That's not .com, straighttalk.cc. Get to the literature section, click it on for today's show. You'll see a bunch of pictures and follow right along. If you're driving in the car, as many are, or listening to the radio, if you're listening to the radio, please get to the computer. If not, I'll describe it as best I can as the show proceeds. Okay, concepts. Let's talk about the basic concepts down there. Well, one, you've got to have good bowels. And that's a whole other show. And we've done shows on how to defecate regularly, 1 to 2 times a day. Constipation, it's a problem. You want your HCl, you want your bile, you want your probiotics, you want a minimum of pathogens, you want your structural body correct, you want your emotional body correct. You want to eat enough fiber, have enough oil, sleep enough to get your adrenaline, and there's that good morning poop. Enough said. That's another show. Number two, HCl. That's right, the hydrochloric acid. Why is ample hydrochloric production so important? Because the large intestine has to be acidic. At a pH of about 5.5, So again, don't get confused. Calm it down. We want the intercellular fluid to be alkaline, about 6.8 to 7.2. We want the intercellular fluid. That's a space in the body. But the space inside your large intestine, that's right. If you put something up inside the colon rectally or down through the mouth all the way to the large intestine, that space in there, that space has an acid-alkaline balance also. So it's got a pH. That pH is not supposed to be alkaline. It's supposed to be acidic. Because that acidity allows the probiotics to flourish. Most importantly, the mass population of that large intestine, good bacteria, which we'll talk about in great detail as time permits, is the bifidobacteria, bifidus. And bifidus conferred to us through breastfeeding, hopefully, bifidus infantis, which we'll talk about later, is one of many strains or types of bifidus. And all these different types of strains of bifidus compiled give us our bifidus, B-I-F-I-D-I-S, our bifidus faction down in the large intestine. That stuff doesn't grow unless the pH is down into acid ranges. Interesting. And what makes it acidic? Your HCl and your bile acids. So if you want to screw it up, I'll give you three variables that really make it a botch. One, you're not breastfed, so you don't get your bifidus implantation. Two, you're so stressed out and sympathetic dominant that your parietal cells don't produce the HCl. We have studies showing if you're stressed out enough, you don't produce hydrochloric acid. Unbelievable in a world of lactic acid fermentation and heartburn, and we give you protonics. We give you these proton pump inhibitors. We stop your HCl production to stop the burning in your gastric tract. And that's exactly the opposite of what's supposed to happen, because that HCl controls the entire ecology of the gut. Down in that large intestine, that HCl guarantees us a more acidic colon so the bifidus can grow. And number three, congested bile ducts. No bile, you don't get that extra acid. The bile acids also blend into the HCl, controlling that pH into the large intestine. Right there. Right there. You're 10 years old. You've grown up in stress. You haven't been breastfed correctly. And you've eaten all this trans fatty, hydrogenated, garbage fat junk. And your gallbladder's congested. Right there, you're in trouble. You got to have a really strong set of genes to counter that. And if you don't, this is why we have so many kids in their 20s in trouble. Now, tie that into endometriosis, polycystic ovaries, cancers, back pains, fibromyalgia, attention deficit disorder, bipolar disorders, autism, all these different issues that kids face. Nobody's linking him down there. And that's the problem. And that's another slant on the show. So here we are talking about gut ecology. And as we're going to argue today, and as we're going to supplement, of course, with hard science, we're going to make the argument that this is so absolutely vital for health. At the same time, where are we making this connection to childhood diseases, to teenage diseases, and to the death rates from cancer and heart disease and the rest of it? Why? Because science can't provide funding to get research to make these hookups dynamic. So we can't say if your gut ecology is off and you have cancer that the gut ecology imbalance caused the cancer, caused the heart disease, caused the schizophrenia, caused the attention deficit disorder. We don't have science to document that to the full spectrum of the scientific method. My suggestion, make a new science. My suggestion, cut science's legs off and start using your brains, because science isn't. Science will get there. Over the next 20, 30, 50, 100 years, we'll develop technologies, and then we'll make that scientific connection to the satisfaction of even our greatest critics. And then one day you'll walk into some medical clinic somewhere at the highest universities in this fine land, and they'll tell you your gut ecology's off. That's why you're predisposed to cancer. But instead, what do? We break down disease to things like genetic testing, profiling, all sorts of useless blood tests that aren't specific enough. Just a little ditty there. Always got to give you the philosophy. That's part of the gift to you. It's your perspective. So, gut ecology, good bowels controlled by those reasons. Secondarily, bile. Get the bile flowing. Number three, hydrochloric acid production. Okay, wonderful. Now let's get to the show. Those probiotics, the good bacteria, most of it's called Bifidus. And Bifidus has many, many, many strains. One of those strains is Infantis, I-N-F-A-N-T-I-S. The other one is Faecalis, Helvetius. If you check out picture number 12, I'm not recommending a supplement here. You know where my vote goes. But look at how they listed these lactobacillus. These are different strains. You don't want one strain. You want all the strains of Bifidus. Bifidus bifidum. Bifidus breve. Bifidum coagulans. Bifidus lactis. Bifidus animalis lactis. Bifidus longum. Bifidobacterium subtilis. Now, if you study the evolution of the child, if you study what happens to the kid's gut ecology when the child's breastfed, I purposely put this supplement sheet on. That's picture number 12 in the literature section, because it's missing something. Again, you've got to get a good probiotic, and you know where to go. Sometime in your spare time, get Premier Research Labs and look at the back. And when you check the Bifidus content of the probiotic, that's the Premier Probiotic Caps. And when it says full spectrum flora, if you look at the back, amongst all the other cautions that they took, like they didn't centrifuge it, so that the bacterias are not too attenuated, so that they're still very aggressive. Because the probiotic that you eat, the company you buy from, in the processing, in the manufacturing, in the growth cultures, from the time they grow it to the time they get it in the capsule to the time they get it into your stomach, there can be many little pitfalls along the way that'll make it inferior, even though the manufacturer will claim that there's billions and billions and billions, except that they will be, if they're not processed diligently, attenuated. One form of attenuation, like we break its legs, so to speak, and make it alive but still useless. Mind you that the processing through a probiotic is critical, because once it gets in there, it's got to go up against the biofilms. And I plastered an article into the literature section that you can read on your spare time. I'm going to get into it in a minute. But bottom line, if in fact we need supplementation, if in fact because you weren't breastfed, because your diet's been off, because your probiotic titers in the intestinal tract are so low, and you're going to look into a probiotic, you've got to make sure that the animal can go down into the intestinal tract. And why? Because once it's there, it's got to do a job, and that job is war. The implantation process implies the displacement of pathogens. So it's going to go up against the pathogen. It's going to do battle. And this is why in the processing of the probiotic, if it's centrifuged, if it's not grown on the right substrates, if it's irradiated, if it all sorts of little nooks and crannies, it's not done correctly. It has no strength, even though it's alive. So I want you to really remember that. And then another Christmas present to you, these probiotics from Premier Research Labs. Now, most importantly, if you look at the ingredients, you're going to find that the Bifidus in the probiotic from Premier Research Labs has something called Infantis in it. Bifidus Infantis. You're not going to see that on that list there on picture number 12. Infantis is missing. it's a detail, but it's big, because infantis is the one you're supposed to get when you're breastfed. It's the one that develops within 5 weeks after birth. It's one that's populating aggressively 10, 20, 30, 6 months into your childhood. 6 months. And if it's not there, how are you going to get it? And that's the point. So down there, 99%, 97%, 96% of your gut ecology, of the good probiotics, are the bifidobacteria. We've also got acidophilus, and we've also got bulgaricus. When you ferment yogurt, even if you buy a good culture of yogurt, or much better yet, if you make your own yogurt, you're making yogurt and you're getting acidophilus and bulgaricus. Yogurt's not bifidus. But predominantly down in the gut, you've got all the strains of lactobacillus, all the strains of bifidus. You've got some thermophilus. You've got some bulgaricus. You've got acidophilus. And collectively, and there's more, but collectively, they comprise the good guys, the good probiotics. Now, the concept here for you to understand is dual. Number one, in this moment, right now, what's your ecosystem look like? Has it been assayed? Are all the byproducts of pathogenic production? And there's lots of byproducts. There are chemicals that are produced down there in the GI tract from too many pathogens. And those chemicals that are produced are counter to your health versus the antibiotics that are produced. There are chemicals that are produced by the immune set, by the probiotics, the bifidus, the acidophilus, that are antibiotic, that are immune enhancing. They stimulate the immune system. When we say they're anti-cancer, antibacterial, we say that the probiotics produce chemicals. The problem is the pathogens also produce chemicals. They produce ammonia. They produce phenols, indoles, amines. And those things do something else. They secrete through the large intestine. Another concept, your large intestine is a reservoir. It's not a sealed container. This is another common public misconception. We think of the large intestine as that part of the body that's just prior to all the bad stuff exiting. And we have enough knowledge to understand that as all that bad stuff moves towards the end, towards the rectum, before we defecate it out, it just keeps moving along if we're lucky. And once it's out of the body, we did good. That's understandable. But what we don't remember is that that large intestine is a water reservoir. It means if the ecosystem is wrong and you're leaking too much phenol, too much ammonia, too much indole, etc., 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 that's going into the blood. From the blood, it's going to go into the lymph. From the lymph, it will add to the cesspool around the cells. Where? In your brain. So when you're sitting there at 12 o'clock and you haven't had that good morning bowel movement, you know that one that makes you feel clear-headed because of the junk you ate the night before? You're going to have that experience over the holidays. So make sure you take your poop powders to blow out all that garbage you're going to do with the holiday meal. After all, that's what the holidays in part are about, right? Those indulgences that you're not going to take the first of the year into spring. So have a party. But here's a little hint. Make sure you get that extra bowel movement a day. Don't be afraid between Christmas and New Year's Eve to do a few enemas that week. Why? Because it'll decrease the rate at which those phenols and the ammonias and the indoles and all these other chemicals leak. They leak from your inside intestine into your blood. They hit your brain. They hit your kidneys. They stress your liver, so on and so forth. You ever noticed when you don't get to the bathroom for that good morning defecation, you may well feel what? Irritable all day, headachy all day. Your muscles may ache all day. That's your proof right there. So down there in the intestinal tract, conferred to you hopefully by breastfeeding, and if not, by compensating that fact, are the bifidobacteria of multiple strains, one of which better be infantis. And if you've got to balance it out, get a good probiotic as discussed. And then there's fermented foods, which we'll get to in a moment. But the concept, the overwhelming concept, the reality of health, the reality of disease. So if you're chronically symptomatic, if you're diseased, I don't care what disease it is. Just as sure as you'd add sleep to the list, just as sure as you'd add raw foods to the list, just as sure as you'd add HCL production to the list, just as sure as you'd have your oxidative stress profile to the list, just as sure as you'd add biliary patency to the list, just as sure as you'd add autonomic balance to the list, you would add gut ecology to the list. Can you get that? Spread that one around at the Christmas table. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. If you're absolutely confused and lost, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007, or at least get to the archives on straighttalk.cc. 135 shows now. You have a library. There is no excuse for bad health. None. But you got to dig deeper. And today's a classic example. Even if your friends in your health clubs, those groups that discuss health, understand, yes, 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 probiotics. Yes, 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 I did a colon cleanse. This isn't my point. It's not the point of the show. It's what makes the show so unique. It's about asking you to take another step to piece things together, and you can do it if it's laid out clearly, commonsensically. And don't be alarmed when you hear it's not scientific. And that's why I always post these journals. The point. The gut ecology, particularly the aggressivity, the vitality, the population of the probiote, displaces the biofilm. Now, what's the biofilm? Why bring up the biofilm? Check out picture number two. Turn to picture number two. Letters in applied biology. Probiotic-mediated competition, exclusion and displacement in biofilm formation by foodborne pathogens. Beautiful article. There's science there. There is hard science. It may not, unfortunately, be the science coming out of the United States. This article actually is. Often it's not. Lots of countries outside the good USA do wonderful research that never makes it to your dinner table. That's why I put it on here. Because the world, including America, of course, is looking at concepts that, with just a little imagination, you can bring to your dinner table. And here's an example. Probiotics compete to the exclusion or displacement of biofilms. Biofilms, what are biofilms? And then we'll get back to the article. What are biofilms? Well, you see, if there were no biofilms, honestly, there'd be almost no disease. Whether bacteria is, whether viruses, whether parasites cause disease or are secondary in the lineage of disease, doesn't matter. In other words, whether you're cancer, whether you're Alzheimer's, whether you're heart disease, whether you're insanity, whether you're depression, whether you're arthritis, whether the joint replacement surgery you just got, whether you're chronic prostatitis, whether you're wrinkling skin, whether you're whatever, is caused by a virus, a microbe, a pathogen, or whether somewhere along the line these pathogens grow into the mess, whether they grow secondarily into the biochemical mess, is absolutely irrelevant to the point. The point is that your immune system has a real problem, as well do your probiotics, with a simple fact, and that is bacteria by themselves, alone. Take a look at picture number nine. It's a gorgeous picture. Don't you just love these pictures? Picture number 9. That's a macrophage. Get to know that word. That ought to be in the household vernacular. Macrophage. Big, red, beautiful macrophage. A macrophage is a white blood cell. Anybody that's ever had the pleasure of doing light or dark field microscopy, looking at your blood viewed under the microscope, looks at white blood cells. White blood cells in the blood, when they get into the intracellular fluid, they're called macrophages. Macrophages destroy the bad things. All the things that kill you, ail you, make you symptomatic, all the you that's not supposed to be you, is eaten by these things. And in that beautiful picture, I mean, it looks like something out of the Renaissance, shoots this long arm, this tentacle of this octopus-looking macrophage wrapping itself around a bacteria, bringing it into itself, and eats it. Its lysosomes digest it. It's an immune system cell that patrols your intracellular fluid, that eats all the microbes that are not supposed to be there. It also eats all the sludge, the dead cells. It eats its own dead macrophages. A sophisticated garbage dump, garbage truck. It's the police department. It's the CIA. And it's clever. Here's the problem. Bacterias, which have evolved probably as long as our immune systems have evolved. Bacterias undoubtedly evolved as long as our immune systems have evolved. These bacterias have made combat tactics. They've made counter tactics. There is a counter espionage occurring in your body at all times, whereby bacterias clump together. And as they clump together, they become bigger. And then they become bigger, and then they become bigger and bigger, and ultimately you've produced this big sack of greasy, slimy bacteria encased in what we call a biofilm, a mucopolysaccharide sack. Now that occurs in stages. This is the point. If you check picture number 10, these bacterias, Staphylococcus, Streptococcus, parasites like amoeba, they all live in these clubhouses, and they become these monstrosities. They even challenge the macrophage. So our neutrophils, our macrophages, our heroes, our supermen, our spidermen, our batmen, all go down the tubes. Once the bacteria have gotten smart enough, they become truly, and I don't even say this tongue-in-cheek, they become like the Joker. They become Lord Sauron of Lord of the Rings. They become masterminds. They become Lex Luthor in Superman. And they sit there in this biofilm. Check out picture number 10, the 5 stages of biofilm development. Now you're getting it. Now you're there. Now you're inside your large intestine. Now you're taking your intellect, your imagination, your passion for health, and you're seeing the reality of what we call health. Because you always have pathogens there. For all your indiscretions, you alter the ecosystem in the intestinal tract into the wrong side of the fence. And if it gets too imbalanced, one day you get very sick. Yes, you do get cancer. Yes, you do get heart disease. Yes, you do get arthritis. Yes, you do get autoimmune disease. Yes, you do get IBS, leaky gut. Yes, you do get schizophrenia. Yes, you do get manic depression. Yes, your children do get attention deficit disorder. There is nothing going on in the gut that does not manifest sooner or later, if left unchecked, as symptom and then disease. So get the new science. Hell in 2014. Exalt the new science, the science of common sense, to understand that this is the way you think. And I mean you think this way when you go to Kaiser and you get your physical, and they monitor your diabetes, and they monitor your heart disease, and they monitor your autoimmune disease, and you go to these high-priced clinics throughout the world and pay top dollar for your insurances to get the best absolute care. You compare and contrast what I'm saying to you on this day, and you put it to functional use in 2014. Brass tacks, assay the ecology of your large intestine. And we've got labs throughout the United States and health practitioners throughout the United States that send your feces in to places like Metametrics, Geneva Diagnostics. We've got all sorts of fringe labs that you can go to directly. I've mentioned some of them on my last show, where you can assay the gut ecology. How much bifidus is there? How much acidophilus is there? How much bulgaricus is there? How many pathogens are there? How much toxin do we find in an assay of the large intestine to determine just how much bad bacteria are producing all sorts of phenols and indoles and amines and ammonias? Assay it. Compare and contrast it year by year. Take it from the trouble sector into the health zone, into the very healthy zone. Pay to have your children's done and compare yours with your children's. For fun, you want to give someone a Christmas gift that counts? Do a fecal assay of your grandfather and do a fecal assay of your six-year-old breastfed child and compare the same bacteria and the same chemicals and look at the differences. Prove it to yourself. Take that to the bank. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. Get to it. No show like this in America. You can go anywhere. You can listen to any show and just collect data. This is the show that asks you to think. How many thinking Americans do we have? I think it's all relative to just how much you think you need to think. We don't think unless we have to think. We like to vegetate. It's human nature, especially after a hard day at work. But on Saturday morning, you have the energy to think. And if you're sick, you better be thinking, or you're going to waste your money. Five stages of biofilm development. The biofilm begins as a pathogen. Streptococcus, staphylococcus, amoeba, faecalis, even E. coli. And it finds a way to grip. It lays down a layer of suction into the intestinal lining. And that suction allows it to bring in more of its own. And then it builds a mucopolysaccharide sac around itself. This is in the later stages. So stage one, stage two. Stage one and stage two, your macrophages, your probiotics can displace these things. They can eat them, or they can neutralize them. All sorts of very technical stuff I don't want to get into on the show, but read those two articles. Understand that as these biofilms develop in the early stages, there you go. Article 1. Look at picture number 1 from the Department of Immunology. Review article. Host defense against bacterial biofilms. Is it a mission impossible? Get into that article. Because those macrophages, those PMNs, polynuclear neutrophils, those PMNs, those immune system cells go after biofilms. But when the biofilm gets to stage 4, when the biofilm gets to stage 5, and I'm just going off picture 10 now, now you got problems. Don't wait till your biofilm's in stage 4, stage 5. Now, do you know what mucus is? See, this is interesting. Mucus. Let's make a connection here for the thinking man. The thinking man knows that if he's ever done a colon cleanse, and if you haven't, check out some of my pictures. You've got Anderson's colon cleanse. You've got colon cleanses by Jensen. Don't have the time to get into details. You can get that off YouTube. Let the parrots do that. But the bottom line is, Those colon cleanses debride the mucal layer. They take out the mucus of the intestinal tract. And for lots of reasons, you make lots of mucus. Your constitution will cause the amount of mucus. The amount of inflammation will cause the amount of mucus. Believe me, when you get up every one day, when you get up every day with mucus up in your head, your nose, your throat, your chest, your lungs, when you're running on the track, you ever run with those people on the track? You try not to, right? Every time you pass them, they usually run for some reason the wrong way on the track. I don't like that. I want to be alone on a track. That's why everyone's supposed to run in the same direction on a track. But there's always a bunch of people that have to run the opposite way. And almost always those people are blowing their nose as they run. They're all these noises, bringing it up, bringing it out. That's the way you wake up, isn't it? Lots of people wake up. You know what that means? It means the dinner you ate the night before rotted in your gut. And all that mucus, which is supposed to come out in your bowels, there's so much of it, it's backed up into your chest and lungs. It's backed up into your sinuses. Mucus is in response to inflammation. Inflammation's in response to toxins. Inflammation, chronic inflammation in the large intestine, a pussy, mucousy, large intestine, guarantees you biofilms. Not because the biofilms live in the mucus. The mucus is proof that there's been enough irritation to produce an ecosystem that will allow a biofilm to develop. Mucus, in response to inflammation, blocks the immune system. It gets in the way of the immune system as it wants to devour the biofilm in its early stages. You got to catch that. That's a big deal. It's not so much that the biofilm lives in the mucus as much as the mucus is in response to the web that the biofilm lays down. And then that web of mucus is in the way of the biofilm and the immune system cell. Very important concept. The presence of all that mucus means the ecosystem's off. That's a big deal because by the time you get the biofilm at the stage four, you've got a bunch of bacteria and who knows what else that creates a very interesting death ship. And what that basically means is that the biofilm can produce poison and shoot it out into the atmosphere. It can shoot out the poison because it has to excrete its own poison. That poison, of course, is grossly toxic to you. It even shoots out little pieces of itself. And those little pieces will patrol, not just from the large intestine, but from the large intestine, and this is the riveting point, from the large intestine out through your body systemically, like a cancer. But it's not a cancer. It's a bacteria, though, with an imprint capable of making another biofilm. That is, if it can plant itself in a place where the terrain would allow its growth. That's so big. That's so big. That is a mountain of insight. The depth to that statement is unparalleled. That and understanding the DNA. The bad microbes in the gut, if not patrolled by the immune system, that's allowed for, enhanced by, healthy probiotics, along with a healthy gut ecology in all the ways designated, allow a biofilm to grow until it gets to stage four or stage five. And then that biofilm is truly, truly Lord Soren. It is truly an evil sight. It houses the worst the bacterial world can throw up against us. And while those probiotics that some say seed our very soul, that some say are as much a part of us as we call us, that have evolved with us to help us, that have evolved with the mammalian cell in evolution to let us be us, to protect us, 200 at least immune-resistant, immune-producing chemicals go on YouTube or read one of those periodicals on all the good things the probiotics do, from methylating the B vitamins, producing methylated B, to making anti-cancer compounds. There's just no end to it. And they sit there, and they become as much of you as you are you. And then there's that war that wages with the Death Star, encased in a way where by the time it's stage four, you are tackling illness. You will not feel well. And those biofilms are so sophisticated then that they implant, they shoot their cells out into the systemic terrain. And if those same bacteria fall in places, your liver, your brain, your bone marrow, your lungs, of course they're going to go to the lungs. Yes, there is a woman, she comes in, she's had a chronic cough. She can't digest. She's got a chronic cough, she can't digest. It's been going on for months. It's failed antibiotics. You see this all the time. People with these signs, these symptoms, these antibiotic therapies, these courses of treatment, these herbal remedies, all this stuff that doesn't work. Something's wrong. You know in your soul something's wrong when you get up and you get out. But nobody can find what it is. The great it. The search for the it that isn't there. And this is the point. Can you shrink yourself down small enough? Can you magnify your insight to understanding there's no it? You're at war. And no single it will save you. You have to use your intelligence. It's the totality of health. That terrain, Metchnikoff's terrain, Enderlin's terrain, that terrain is everything. Let these concepts grow within yourself. So when you're scared and you're twisted and you're in a state of chaos and you feel like you're wasting your money with your allopaths and with your herbalists and your nutritionists and with your holistic practitioners, because you're spinning. It's not them. It's you. You just don't have the insight. So look at that biofilm. It's in your gut. It's thriving in your gut. It's a stage four, stage five biofilm. Too large for your macrophage, for your immune system to neutralize. And then it shoots a cell out through the gut wall, and now it's planted somewhere else. And then, most interestingly, all those biofilms communicate with each other. And we know that. It's in the literature. It's studied. If they can communicate with themselves in vitro, they can communicate with them between petri dishes and aquariums, they can communicate in your body. So your head, the villains in your head are talking to the villains in your teeth. The villains in your teeth are talking to the villains in your gut. The villains in your head, your teeth, your gut are talking to the villains in your liver. You truly have an entity. I have seen people with entities in their bodies, and I'll call them entities. I have even seen good Christian people sitting across from me, across this very desk, telling to me that they know the devil lives because there's something in their body that they would call a devil. Beyond that, I've even seen their faces change. I've seen them go in and out. I kid you not. Young people, sick people, go in and out of their two selves. The self controlled by the entity, and then that soul trapped inside, looking for a way to breathe itself to life in the body. And you can actually see sick people go back and forth inside one half and the other half of themselves. 90% of health lives in the colon. Holistic medicine has been saying this. Bernard Jensen has been saying this. Natasha Trenev has been saying this. Richard Anderson has been saying this. Bob Marshall's been saying this. This is what they mean. The eternal war between good and evil. Well, you don't have to look at it that way. You just have to look at it like science looks at it, if it's real science. So click to the articles. Article 1 and Article 2. Not now, but later. Just read them. probiotic-mediated competition, exclusion, and displacement in biofilm formation. And host defense against bacterial biofilms. Mission impossible for reasons stated. That's big. Really big. Onward. So what are we going to do about it? You're going to have two bowel movements a day. You're going to find your autonomic nervous system and get there. You're going to understand what I mean by that. You're going to get your bile flowing. You're going to go in, and twice a year, you're going to do a good colon cleanse. You're going to stretch those quadriceps until that psoas lengthens. If you don't know what I'm talking about, welcome to the club. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, straighttalk.cc. Get to the website. Look up the psoas muscle, dynamic exercise. Look up show number 20, biliary patency. Look up my shows on hydrochloric acid therapy. Look up the shows on digestion to understand the full spectrum of what HCL actually does and how something as marginal, so they'll tell you, as stress can shut off completely your HCL production. Okay. Maybe it's wrong, but yes, we experiment with mice and rats and rabbits, and we stress them out in labs. Yes, we do. And the stress, the greater the stress, the greater the stress, the almost insane amount of stress, but no less stress than your stress. Then we go in there, and we suck out their gastric fluid, and there's no hydrochloric acid. You can take a cat. You can take a healthy cat. And you can take a piece of the stinkiest, rottenest, dirtiest, filthiest, toxin-borne meat, and you can stuff it down that cat's gut. And in 10 to 15 minutes, that meat is sterile. Because if that's a healthy cat, if that cat just ate the fermented meat, if that cat ate the good stuff and could sterilize the bad stuff, that cat got strong on that rotten meat. And that's what animals do. They eat rotten meat. And that meat is fermented meat. People eat rotten meat. The Eskimos, the Pygmies. Cultures always ferment their meat. But let's just talk about an animal eating rotten meat and ask yourself, would you? Of course you wouldn't, because with the rot goes pathogens. Salmonellas, coli, parasites, larvae from flies. These rotten components must be sterilized, and if they are sterilized, the animal just benefits. We've done those studies. Weston Price, he was legion for that, but that's too long ago. Those studies are done today. The point, if you take these animals and you put them in sympathetic dominance, and then you go in and you gastric assay the HCL in the gut, it isn't there. That's what you do. That's what you do. That's what stress does. So health, a bowel movement under no stress, biliary patency, good flora. And if the good flora is not there, you've got your probiotics to ingest. You've got the probiotic enemas, retention enemas. Go on YouTube. Read books. Experiment. But understand why. Take the probiotic, throw it in an enema bag, put it in and retain it. Then get it measured. That's what to do. But you won't. You haven't. When was the last time you did a colon cleanse? And this is the point. Because you don't really understand. Now you do. And that's the point. Interesting concepts. Discover Magazine a couple of years ago. Fecal implants, people with IBS, people with leaky gut, people with irritable bowel syndrome, people with ulcerative colitis, the kinds of things, they're all over the place. The kinds of things that cause surgeries, that cause intestines to be cut out, that fail antibiotic therapy. Check Discover Magazine a couple of years ago. I think it was April or August of 2 years ago. Fecal implants curing 27 out of 27 cases of advanced suppurative, antibiotic failed, ulcerative colitis or Crohn's. Fecal implants, they took the feces of the people's partners or children, put them into an enema bag, in a saline solution. And then through an enema, they put the feces into the large intestine of the spouse, of the lover, of the parent, of the child, so on and so forth. Someone close to you, and then they inoculated you with the good bacteria from somebody else's gut. And within weeks, drastic, complete cures. 27 out of 27 times. Look it up yourself on Google. Fecal implantation. It was so powerful that even the hospitals are doing it. Not the hospital you're going to. The research hospitals. The remaining faction of medicine that still has a brain. And they're doing it today. Of course, it's experimental. Of course, we're not sure. Of course, and mark my words, within a year, 2 years, 3 years, you won't hear of it anymore. I guarantee you it will be snuffed. And in 50 years, it'll just be collecting dust somewhere. And this is the history of nutrition. From 1850, if you look into it, as I say every single show, in the microscope, in the libraries, on out there in cyberspace, collecting dust or static cyberspace out there in nowhere land, are these long forgotten testimonies. And this thing about fecal implants will become one of them. Don't let it be. Get the point. If inoculated at a high enough concentration into a sick biofilm-ridden intestine, the question becomes, what can't you cure? Cure? No one cures. You cure. Your body cures. Just feed its systems. But you have to research. You have to understand deeply. See, that's the point. Deeply. Not academically, not rhetorically, not as merely a vernacular. You have to understand in the day-to-day of your existence. Your functional self has to understand that your body's already got mechanisms. Fecal implants are actually one such mechanism. Here's another one. Well, here's a story. Cooley. C-O-L-E-Y. Read about Dr. Cooley and the Cooley vaccine. Turn to page 19, picture 19. This was an award-winning book on Dr. Cooley. He was a medical doctor at the turn of the century. He was a young rising star in the medical world, distraught over people's deaths from horrible cancers. And in those days, we didn't even have good surgery. And in those days, we didn't even have chemo. And in those days, we couldn't slow it down. We couldn't fend it off. If you got it, you were going to get down. You weren't even going to be benefited from the extra life you could get to be with your family when you did a chemo or you did a surgery. We produced very grotesque sorts of testimonies back then. And Cooley, a young medical doctor just in his 20s, was distraught over it. Read about his history, A Commotion in the Blood, by Stephen S. Hall, award-winning book. Subtitled Life, Death, and the Immune System. Cooley took either Streptococcus or Staphylococcus. He took Serratia marcescens. These are virulent bacteria. He took them and injected them into people sick and dying of cancers because he noticed this woman that he treated that had a sarcoma. And the woman with the sarcoma, which is another terminal cancer, she accidentally got an infection. And that infection ran rampant through her body. It almost cost her life. Not the sarcoma, not the cancer, but the secondary infection, say. And this infection ran through her body, and she beat the infection. Well, she was certainly glad to do that, but guess what? The cancer was gone. The bacteria had eaten the tumor. There it is. There it is. An inadvertent, accidental miracle whereby a secondary infection eats a terminal cancer. And Cooley noticed that and said, what a concept. So he took people who were terminally ill and he brewed bacteria and he injected virulent bacteria. And amazing things happened. not all the time, but with a success rate that far, far outdistanced what the therapies were back then. Well, where is the Cooley vaccine today? Has anybody heard of Dr. Cooley? Has anybody studied him in medical school? Do we hear of him in naturopathic school? Do we at least take the concept, the fundamental concept that we can use bacteria, our own probiotics, and who knows what else? Who knows what the soul will do if you feed it? Who knows the biochemical manipulations from the DNA to the ecosystem of the gut that your soul will render effective to create solutions we'll never find in a million years? And there you have it, the Cooley vaccine. We still do the Cooley vaccine today, not in America, in Germany. Its derivative is called dendritic cell vaccines, dendritic cell therapy. The medical doctors do it there in some of the cancer clinics. Of course, these things today have proved experimental and not conclusive. Have we become a bunch of imbeciles? Have cornflakes and Quaker oats in the morning? Is your Wheaties supplying your brain with not enough fuel to see through the lies? Where is the Cooley vaccine today? Where is the concept? Well, then, Merry Christmas to you, from me to you. Merry Christmas to yourself. We all have dreams. We all have ideas. We all have human potentials. And by 50 and 60, where have those dreams gone? They live in the intestinal tract. They live in our probiotics. They live in the health of that ecosystem. They live in concepts like the Cooley vaccine, like probiotic enemas, like HCL therapies. They're there. The Lord put 50% of it in us, and then he gave us a soul to discover the next 50% of it. So we're half perfect. Merry Christmas to you. My pleasure. I'll see you for the New Year's show. Bye-bye.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.